Hey there, nursing community. Two Male Nurses is back, but now it might be two male nurses and a physician.
Oh man, future gas bros, you know what's up. It's two male nurses with another bro. We're all up in here, and we're talking calcium.
Calcium.
Give him some milk.
Give
him some milk. Calcium's important, and we're giving some milk.
Yeah, this is also going to be the first time where Ben and I have to do it. Long distance, we're going to make it work, and here we go. All right, and we're back. So super special episode today, and we're doing it a little bit differently where we're going to have Ben coming in on a phone call, but we also have a very, very special guest, and his name is Dr. Leland Kensidla.
And that is his real name, ladies and gentlemen.
We did not.
Ladies, he's a taken man. But yeah. That is his name. He sounds like royalty, and he is here today. Leland Kensidla.
Can you hear things, boys? Yes, I can.
Yes,
very much.
Yes. Okay, so for the record, over the past years now, we've quoted physicians, and the one we usually quote is Dr. Kensidla.
Yes.
He's one of the physicians at the hospital he used to work at. He was a fantastic resource. We'll have him tell a little bit about himself, but just it was really nice always having around because I felt like, Andrew, you can say what you want as well, but I felt like any time we had a question about, I felt like pretty much anything.
Oh, yeah. No, always took his time to explain things to us, never made us feel dumb. And he would, like, say these, like, casual little things, and we would just, like our mind was blown. Like, he was the one who told us the difference between Cardizem and Cardine. And I was just like, oh, my. Yeah, just off the top of his head, he's like, yeah. Over a text, like, oh, yeah, it's just this. And I was just like, oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah, he's a cool guy, great resource. All right.
Tell us your scoop, Dr. Kensidla. What's up?
Well, I appreciate that intro. You guys are phenomenal. You guys are just way too good to me. I am actually a third-year resident over at the hospital that they used to work at. When I started there, these guys were just fresh out of nursing school, really like their first job in the ICU. And it was great to watch them grow into the phenomenal nurses that they were. And when they ended up leaving our hospital, I can't tell you the amount of people that were not only sad, but just, it kind of brought the morale down. They were kind of the bros of the ICU, and they really, really brought that morale up. But
it's nice, it's touching that he's saying that people were sad. They're not as sad as I am right now, since Dr. Kensidla thought I was a new grad. We went to the ER for like 4 years, but apparently I was a, that's just embarrassing.
Let's be real, man. I've listened to the podcast. I've heard the way that you talk about your ER nursing staff.
Touche. Well, hey, big thank you to Dr. Kensidla for coming on. This is actually pretty impromptu. So here's the scoop of calcium. Big thank you to Dr. Kensidla because we just called him like 3 minutes ago, and he was like gracious enough to come on right now. Andrew and I were just talking. So about 3 months ago, I had called Andrew just losing my mind. I just read just a random textbook that said calcium. And it was kind of talking about this, that, whatever. Okay. And at the very end of the text, it said calcium is a positive inotrope. And it just left it that. I just like lost my mind. Like obviously right away thinking, okay, you give calcium channel blocker. And the text talked a little bit about like, you know, relaxation of smooth muscle and all that, but it also talked about contractility and saying like, oh, it decreases calcium channel blockers, can decrease contractility. It's going to maybe cause a little bit of smooth muscle relaxation. So of course you have a decrease in blood pressure, you know, it's an antihypertensive. Okay, cool. But then it said, oh, it's a positive inotrope. So all like Andrew, of course, like calcium channel blocker, negative inotrope. Calcium's a positive inotrope, or it's like, you know, just losing our minds.
Yeah, then it's just like putting the pieces together of like, this is why we're giving this during a code, right? We're like giving them everything we can, no matter what the electrolytes are. We're just like, hey, let's push, you know, a gram, or, you know, whatever. I want to say it's a gram, right? I've just been so long now. I've been in the hospital.
Yeah, I mean, gram of calcium. You like never think about it. You never like, hey, let's get like a stat, you know, gas with lights and make sure he needs calsium. No.
Oh, we should probably check his albumin first, you know, just make sure there's no real, you know, free floating on and not on his calcium.
You just push it. You push the mag, and then you push the guy. The doctor comes in, like, oh, did you guys already push calcium? Oh, you already pushed mag? All right, good. Good on the chest there. You know, like, it's not a thing that you check. So we thought, like, oh, you must push it because it's a positive inotrope. Like, we're giving all kinds of other positive, you know, we're giving epi, we're giving whatever positive inotrope. Calcium's a positive inotrope. That's why we give it.
That was our thought.
That was our nursing thought. So we had to call the doctor, and we were wrong. That's not why you give it a code, but we got the doctor who went. So, Dr. Cancella, tell us the scoop.
So, actually, that's a great thought. You guys were pretty much spot on, except the problem with your thinking was the research behind it. We don't have too much research behind how much of an inotrope calcium is. So the level of research for that, pretty low. So we can't say that that's the primary reason that we give it during our code. What we can say is how much calcium affects other electrolytes. So when you're thinking about, especially if somebody has a PEA arrest, you're going through your H's and your T's, you're thinking about all those reasons. And just a quick way to just kind of bypass all those electrolytes, just give that calcium. Not only are you going to stabilize that cardiac membrane to help lower that action potential so that you're not having misfirings, but you're also going to help with the potassium levels. You can help with the hypermagnesemia so that you're really just kind of taking care of everything at once. When you talk about the inotropic agent with it, not only is it going to help squeeze a little bit harder, if you think about it, just based on calcium channel blockers, those are going to relax stuff. When you squeeze a little bit harder, you're not going to increase that heart rate. So you don't have to worry about that tachycardia-induced anything. You can just give that calcium, going to give you a little bit of squeeze. Again, not great evidence behind it, but during a code, we're not too worried about that little bit of evidence. We're worried about what can help this patient here and now. And if there's any benefit with little repercussions, we're going to try to do that to help that patient out.
Dude, so that was so well explained. I love that. So let me ask you a few just random questions here. So in your experience, how often does someone code and later you look and they are hypercalcemic?
Very rarely. So the most often time that's going to happen, if you're thinking about a dialysis patient, or if you're thinking about someone that has some type of cancer, multiple myeloma, any type of bone cancer that's actually a lytic lesion where it's eating away at that bone. But again, those are few and far between.
So, and let's say we give calcium to those patients, like how much harm are we doing?
Not very much. They already have that calcium, and we can always correct that calcium if we get them back. And again, that's the big if.
Dude, love it. So they're hypercalcemic. They're cancer. They're whatever. You push the calcium. You're not doing anything to harm them, but potentially you could be saving their life if it's a different electrolyte balance.
Potentially, absolutely. Just some of the disadvantages of calcium in general. If you know for a fact that somebody is in an ischemic cardiomyopathy, or if you know that they just had a ischemic event in their heart, you could exacerbate that a little bit, but again, that's not going to be something that immediately happens. That's going to be over time if you have hypercalcemia.
Wow.
I'm still back on the H's and T's, man. Whipping that out.
I'm so thirsty for some milk. I mean, that is some next level stuff, man, but I love it. This is the thinking of the physician versus the thinking of the nurses. Not that one is necessarily better than the other, but physicians are trained to consider this higher level. You know, we're talking about 8 years of school versus the 2 and sometimes 4. There's just a lot more information they've ingested, and so thinking at this higher level. But that totally makes sense to me. I guess when Dr. Cancella was explaining that, I kind of thought, it sounds almost like, you know, your hypoglycemic patients, where you're like, oh, I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm just going to give them some sugar. And if their sugar's high, it doesn't matter. Their sugar was 400, now it's 500, it doesn't matter. if their sugar's low, you save their life. And so I think that's kind of the way to think about calcium is, and Lee, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but if, you know, if they're coding, you should push calcium.
Yeah, I think that's a very reasonable thing to push. When you look at it and you look at the ACLS algorithm put out by the American Heart Association, they say what is the best level of evidence to not do any harm. And that's the reason that calcium's in that algorithm. When you get those H's and T's and you ever have a thought that maybe one of these H's and T's could be the cause, that's why it's in that algorithm. They wouldn't put something in that algorithm that wasn't going to help potentially save that patient's life, which is just more reason that having that good backbone, and for physicians alike, trusting your nurses and trusting the people in your code to help you out with that. You got a lot of stuff going around in that code, and you got to think, how am I going to save this patient? And everybody's human, so everybody's going to think about that patient, but maybe I missed something, and Ben, you could be the meds, and you just kind of tap me, and you're like, hey, did you think about calcium? And it's like, absolutely, let's go for it.
That makes sense. Did you have something you wanted to add, Andrew?
No, I was going to say thanks for including us in on that, man. It just made me a little sentimental. I was like, man, I miss working with this guy. He's great.
Same, man. Same. That's what I was just thinking about. Same. I feel like we had some pretty good times.
Yeah, definitely some memorable.
Big picture stuff, the meat and taters.
The nuts and bolts.
You're saying that first line, say it again. You're pushing calcium. What is the first line reasoning for this, or why are we doing this up front and center?
So up front and center, it's going to be that stabilization of the membranes. You're going to help with that action potential so that you're not having misfirings. Secondary, why you're pushing it, is you could get a slight inotropic effect without raising that heart rate. So you're kind of getting that extra little bit of squeeze that might just be enough to kickstart and help that patient out.
Love that.
That makes sense. But first line is really that stabilization, antiarrhythmic. And then he said, what did you say? It can help with hypermagnesemia?
Hypermagnesium and hyperkalemia.
Fascinating.
Man, wow. Very fascinating. Honestly, hypocalcemia.
Give him milk, man. I know everybody made fun of that lady in the video. You know, we were all watching and laughing. You're saying, like, that kid was whatever. And she said, give him some milk.
Yeah.
She was right. She was spot on, man.
Absolutely. Man.
Wow. Really? So, when I was looking at this concept right before we called Leland, there was a Reddit post came up and the nurse was talking. She said, oh, it was just an experience. This was from 7 years ago. So 7 years ago, the nurse said, yeah, I was in a code last night. I'm a new grad, but there were two other experienced nurses, and a third year resident came in and said, oh, he's coding. Let's push calcium. The two experienced nurses refused to push calcium. They said, we're not pushing calcium until we know what his labs are. And the resident said, please push calcium. We need to push this. It was a dialysis patient. He missed his last two dialysis treatments, and now he's coding. He's like, we need to push the calcium. They're like, nope, we're not pushing calcium, not until we know. So then another nurse came in and pushed it. They got ROSC, but then when the labs came back, his potassium was 8.8. And the nurses took it to the resident and said, see, we told you it wasn't his calcium at all. It was his potassium. And the nurse who posted this said, I know that the physician was wrong in this instance, but, you know, how can we have an attitude of inclusion and teaching? I don't know. I didn't read the end of the post. It's like, very painful. Do you have any reaction to that story, Dr. Kinsel?
That's the rest of the story, but I think that just, I mean, they're talking about that inclusion, and I think that's where the trust comes in. I mean,
it's definitely going both ways.
And that's across the board. I mean, even for you guys as nurses, if you come in there and you say, hey, the doctor wants me to give you this, it almost makes it seem like you don't want to give that. And as nurses, you guys are on the ground floor. You guys are treating your patients way more, and you're seeing your patients, and you're interacting with your patients on a much deeper level than physicians are. So it's nice when you were all on board, and you can walk into that patient's room and you're like, hey, we're going to do this, this, and this. And everybody's on board with it because it just instills that confidence in the patient. Wow. And it's the same way in the code situation. If I walk in and I'm confident and I can give you a reason for why we're doing something, everybody's going to be on board with that. If I just come in and I start saying, hey, we need to give X, Y, and Z, and I don't say a reason behind that, and you might not know the reason that I'm thinking, it's not going to instill that confidence for you to want to push that medication.
Mm. That makes sense. I think the most painful part of the story was I didn't know anybody saw that. I mean, you know, in that story, the two nurses who refused the calcium, it was me and Andrew. We were the two nurses who refused to push them. No, I'm just kidding. But I love what Dr. Kinsel was saying about just maintaining that trust, you know, having that relationship with your physicians. And it means a lot to him, you know, for Kinsel to say, oh, you know, here's a physician's perspective that we appreciate, when instead of coming and saying, like, hey, the doctor wants this, you know, yeah, here it goes. You know, us as nurses, maybe just saying, like, hey, this is the physician prescribed this, and the reason I'm giving it is because here's what the research says, or here's the reasoning behind it, or we as a team are giving you this, or whatever. I think that, I don't know how you feel about that, Leland, or what wording you would like the nurses to say.
No, I'm completely on board with that. I think that it's so important when it comes to that, just being on board with each other and instilling that kind of trust with each other is great, because then if you see something that maybe you don't understand, or maybe you don't see the reason that I'm prescribing that medication, it should be a two-way street. You should be able to come to me and say, hey,
totally,
why am I giving this? And it shouldn't be an argument of, I'm the doctor, just give what I order. It should be either a learning, or it should be, hey, here's the reason I think it's going to work, or here's the reason it's a guideline-driven therapy.
Right. Dude, and that's, yeah, you know, and that's just something we always saw with you too. Yeah. Oh man, this has been good though. This is so good.
So good.
Bringing that up, and just, you know, making us feel like we can all be a part of that team, and honestly, for the betterment of the patient, right? That's what it all comes down to. Even just that communication of being like, hey, we're all on the same team here. This is a collaborative effort. We're gonna try to get the best care possible. We love that.
Absolutely. We're all just there to be an advocate for our patient.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. All right. I think that kind of wraps it up, man. I mean, we learned a lot about calcium, which is awesome. Oh. And, you know, we were able to talk with our, you know, old friend, Dr. Cancilla, who's legit.
Dr. C. Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
I
love it. And he's able to burn Ben a little bit, which is, that was pretty fun, too. New grad. All right. But, hey, we'll hopefully be able to, you know, keep these out a little bit. Maybe we'll have to do another collab. Let us know if you guys have any other questions that you don't just want for the two male nurses, but for the male physician.
Dude, that is legit, actually. Dr. Cancilla sometimes picks up our phone calls. And if you guys email us and say, hey, I actually have a question, but we want Dr. Cancilla's opinion on this, I'll text him, or Andrew will text him. We'll get in touch with him. We'll get him on the phone, and we will answer your questions as well. So if you have any questions for the physician, hit us up on 2MailNurses on the Gmail. And, Dr. Cancilla, thank you so, so, so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you. It's been an honor being on here.
Oh, man.
Just don't roast me too bad on the next episode.
No, we only roast Dr. Floyd. All right, moving on.
All right.
Well, signing out on this one.
Dr. Cancilla, we're signing out. Stay sleepy, my friends.
Ideas expressed in this podcast?
2MailNurses expressly disclaims any liability in association with the content in this podcast. That sounds good, right?
That's it. Yeah, that sounded good.
Okay, cool.